This is a podcast from ABC Radio Overnights. I'm Rod Quinn. This week marked 20 years since the start of the Sydney Olympic Games. For Australia, it was 16 days of glory, with gold medals in archery, swimming, athletics, cycling, shooting, sailing, taekwondo, volleyball, water polo, hockey, and equestrian. The equestrian win was for the eventing team, a testing competition of dressage, show jumping and cross country. And for Australia, it was the third consecutive gold medal in that event, after wins in Barcelona in 1992 and Atlanta 1996. One of the four members of the team was Matt Ryan. He'd won gold in Barcelona, not only as a member of the team, but in the individual competition as well. To remember the Sydney Olympics and Barcelona as well, Matt Ryan is our very special guest on Overnights. Matt, welcome to the program.
Good morning. A pleasure.
Matt, firstly, you're trapped in Australia. We should point out, before we go back 20 years, and in fact beyond 20 years, to when you won two more gold medals for Australia, what are you doing in Australia? You shouldn't be here at this time.
Yeah, it's sort of like that. You're right. I live in the UK, and I have lived over there for 30 years now. But I come back here to Australia for the months of January, February, and March, and do some coaching clinics and things. But this year, I got caught. Everything closed down come the end of March, and as you say, I've sort of got stuck here.
What have you been doing since February, I suppose?
Well, initially I couldn't do anything because everything was so shut down. I couldn't do anything. So I sort of took advantage of friends and family. But gradually, as the restrictions eased up, I could do private lessons. And now I'm pretty busy doing clinics, weekend clinics. I'm actually, this weekend, I've been up at Armidale working at the NEGS, New England Girls School. We've got a contract up there teaching them every second weekend. So I've actually got pretty busy.
They say that the Sydney Olympics were the greatest Olympics of all time. Now, you've been to many Olympic Games. Were they the greatest?
I don't know. It was good for me.
Yeah.
I had a great time. There's no doubt about that. We put a pressure on ourselves, so to speak. What I mean by that is that when we won a team gold back in 1992 in Barcelona, and then we backed it up again, not me personally, in 1996, coming into Sydney 2000, no nation had won that team medal in three consecutive Olympics. So we were going for history. We wanted to make history. The sports psychologist thought we were crazy putting that much pressure on ourselves, but we actually spun it around and put it, inspired us to work really hard. It was great. So yes, there was a lot riding on it. Plus, it was home territory. You know, what a better place to do it in home territory. I was a little bit worried initially that there might be sort of too much interference from press and family and friends and all that. But being an Olympian at Olympics, the Olympians, they can disappear into their own little areas where no one else is allowed to go. So you can really just tap into family and friends however much you want, really, and then go back to the athlete area. Mm. So I was a little concerned, but no, not a problem. We could focus on what we wanted to do. And look, yeah, we created history. We won that team gold medal. It was just amazing.
What is the difference between winning at home compared with winning away?
It was the victory laps afterwards. That's what really I remember most about it. You know, when particularly in horse, you do a victory lap. Yeah. You know, the first three, the gold, the silver, the bronze medalists do a victory lap, and then the silver and the bronze medalists get sort of siphoned off, and the gold medalist goes and does another victory lap. Well, we did that, but sort of, the crowd were roaring. Yeah. Obviously, it was about 95, maybe even more percentage of Australians cheering us on, and I'm pretty sure they were aware that we just created history, so it was all really exciting. And after we'd done two laps, we all looked at each other. So there was Andrew Hoy, Stuart Tinney, Philip Dutton. We all looked at each other and said, should we go again? Well, yeah, okay, let's go again. And normally the crowd says, go away, boys, or girls, you've had your fun. But the crowd just roared again. So we did a third lap, and then we looked at each other again. Let's go again. Yeah. The stewards even came out once and tried to wave us in, and we dodged around the stewards, and obviously the spectators saw us do that and thought that was wonderful. Oh, I tell you what, that finishing on those gallops of those victory gallops around that arena with the crowd just roaring, not telling us to go away. They were just lapping it up, enjoying the moment as much as we were. That's what it felt like anyway. Just brilliant.
And they were pumping out Man from Snowy River music, I think.
Oh, well, I can't remember that really. I can't remember how many laps we did, but it was just brilliant. It was probably the best moment in my sporting career, I reckon. Just that wonderful feeling.
The amazing thing about it is, of course, that even though Australia has hosted the Olympics twice, that was the first and only time that Australia has won gold in the equestrian events at home, because in 1956, the equestrian events were held in Stockholm in Sweden. So that was the first and only time they've been held here in Australia, and we won.
Yeah, I guess that's right. Yeah, I knew that stat for sure.
I'm glad.
Yeah, look, you know, we'd been living on sort of history as far as, you know, we won team gold and individual gold and silver back in 1960, the Rome Olympics. So we hadn't won any significant medals, really. Oh, look, well, that sounds a little bit tough because I think there were a few bronze medals along the way. We hadn't, you know, really... played with gold medals for a long, long time, and Barcelona was the start of it. So, yeah, it was a good era, that.
So 1960, Laurie Morgan won. Morgan is your middle name. Is there any link between you and Laurie Morgan?
No, look for it. The only link was that we were the same number. I think he was 63 in Rome. I was 63 in Barcelona. But no, the name Morgan, there is no link there that we're aware of.
Okay.
But, yeah.
I want to talk about Barcelona in a moment, but let's take us back to Sydney. When did you know that you were in the team? What's the process of getting to the Olympics? And because obviously you'd won gold in 92 individually and as a team. You'd won the team had won gold in 96 in Atlanta. So you were probably the favourites going in, even though, as you say, no one had won three times in a row. But when did you know you were on the team?
Yeah, okay, that's a good question. I'm not sure. I am pretty sure, without knowing any specific dates, probably a good couple of weeks out, I knew I was in the team. They used to wait until really the last second to name the team, but oh, that was just terrible, you know, living on eggshells, wondering if you were in the team. When I went to my first Olympics in 1988 in Seoul, all five of us, we were five of us that went over. We even did the trot up. That's the first horse inspection. It was only after that first horse inspection I was told I was the reserve. Up until then, I was pretty confident. I was hoping I'd be in the team. And sort of when you, the very last second you're told you're reserve, oh, God, that hurts. And I think the organisers, the management realised that the riders, or we pretty well expressed ourselves, that we want to know where we stand. And, you know, if we're first reserve, fine. Okay, well, let us know we're first reserve. So, you know, we know where we're coming from. So I think a good couple of weeks out, I knew I was in the team and who was first reserve, et cetera, et cetera. So it wasn't the last minute thing like it used to be.
One of the great memories of the Olympics, of course, is the opening ceremony. What role did you play in the opening ceremony?
Wow, we were there. I loved the opening ceremonies and the closing ceremonies. I took every opportunity to be at every one I could. Yeah, I know there are some athletes that are told that they shouldn't go because their competition starts the next day. Well, I think our competition started the next day or the day after, but I always made the chance, the opportunity to go if I could. I think they're just wonderful. It's funny, the opening ceremonies, you don't actually get to see everything like the spectators do, because all the athletes are mustering in other arenas sort of just outside the main stadium. So we don't actually get to see all that exciting stuff, but there's a hell of a buzz. And you're sort of mingling with all the other nations to a degree. It's just a real buzz. And coming into the arena and your country's announced and marching along in your opening ceremony uniform, it's a lovely, fantastic feeling. I know some athletes are told that they shouldn't go. They should be just focusing on, you know, their actual sport. But to miss the opportunity of that experience, I feel sorry for some athletes who can't be there.
Was there much discussion within the team about who would be lighting the flame?
No, I didn't know. No one knew. Well, I didn't know. If
did you speculate,
else knew,
though? Did you talk about who it might be?
You know, it's 20 years ago.
Sorry,
I'm
Matt.
Sure. I'm going to say no. No, I didn't know. I must admit that must have been discussed to a degree, but I cannot remember it figuring very high in my attention.
We should point out that, of course, it is a team event with you and the others, but there's another team within that, and that is you and your horse. Khyber Tik Tok was your gold medal horse. What about in Sydney in 2000? Who was your horse?
Or Khyber Sandstone. It was Tik Tok's half brother, which is also just an amazing sort of stat if you want to look into it. I'm not quite sure if there is another, breeder. Budheim bred both my horses, and they came out of the same mare, bred by the same mare. So they were half brothers. So yes, you're right. They're two teams. You could argue there's definitely a strong relationship. There has to be a really good, strong connection relationship between the rider and the horse. But there is a team, and now sport generally outside World Championships and Olympics, it's just an individual sport. But it is such a funny feeling when you get into a team situation like at the Olympics, you feel a real responsibility how important your performance is to the team. And it's an added load of pressure, also an honour as well. I love being part of the team. It didn't feel like it was just an individual sport. It definitely was, part of a team. My score counted with the other fellas into a team score. That was pretty important.
Matt Ryan is our guest. You're with Rod Quinn on ABC Radio Overnights. Matt Ryan is a triple Olympic gold medalist. We don't have too many of them. Team events in 92 and 2000, and won the individual gold for the equestrian events in Barcelona in 1992. So take us through winning that gold in Sydney then. We've heard about the celebrations afterwards. How did it unfold that Australia was going to win? Because it wasn't a certainty, was it?
No, you're right. We were really pushed. The Brits were really pushing us. We were favourites, as you said earlier. There was no doubt about that. Andrew Hoy had this amazing horse called Darrington Powers. Stuart Tinney was the leading Australian-based rider on his horse Cheapster. Philip Dutton, based in the US, on I think he was on House Doctor, probably been winning Rider of the Year in the US for donkey's years. And I was based in the UK as well on a great horse, a Khyber Sandstone. But none of those horses were perfect. And in actual fact, all their weakest links was probably the show jumping. We knew they were all pretty good in the dressage. Maybe my horse wasn't as smart in the dressage. Knew they were all brilliant cross-country horses. But our show jumping, if there was a weak link, our show jumping was the weakest link. We were in the lead after the dressage, just a little bit. We had fantastic cross-country rounds. All of us went clear. I picked up 0.4 of a time penalty, which is a bit of a shame, but still it was, great round. And we stretched our lead a little bit above the Brits. Coming into the show jumping, each rail down that a rider has, it was worth four penalties. But we were just over eight penalties clear. So in other words, we had two rails in hand. And when one of us riders went in, I was actually the first to go in. I had two rails down. I thought, oh, damn it, I've blown it. One was just inevitable, but the other one I'm thinking, oh, I could have done a better job there. The Brits were very polite. They kept on knocking rails down as well.
Very kind of them.
Yeah, that's right. So every time one of us had a rail or two down more than we wanted, and we're thinking, oh, let's let the Brits, breathe down their necks a little harder, but they'd go and knock down a rail or two. So it's sort of it kept our sort of lead just enough. And anyway, when Andrew Hoy came in on his horse Darrington Powers, I think he had four rails in hand, or he could have three rails down and we still won. And that's exactly what he did. He had three rails down. Now, having three rails down is not actually great, but we just stretched our lead a little bit. He had the three rails down, which made us all very nervous seeing them come down, thinking, don't knock another one. But it was okay. And so, yeah, we were jumping up and down. So all of us who had a few rails down thinking, well, was it our round that blew it? The Brits were very polite and kept on knocking a few rails down and kept us in the lead.
Who presented you with your medal? Do you remember?
I am pretty sure it was Wayne Roycroft, actually.
Great name, Australian equestrian.
So he was actually team coach, but he was also at the time the president of the FEI, that's the Federation of Equestrian International. But it was because he was the president of International Federation that he did the presenting of the medals, which was, really nice.
What happens when you go back to the Olympic Village and to the team that night? Is there something special that happens for gold medalists?
It's a weird thing. Sometimes the party just gets going. And normally it's the spontaneous party, which is the best. We tried to organise a party. I'm not sure if it was the next day back there at the stadium, but it was pretty flat feeling. It just didn't come off. It's normally the party that happens immediately afterwards, whether it's down in the stables or just back up in the most exciting time of thing party was sort of that afternoon, that evening, there at the stadium, just to where the owners of the horses and the parents, the families of the riders all mingle together and everything. It wasn't an organised party, but I know my parents were up there drinking heaps, having a whale of a time. We kept on having to be drawn away to do press interviews and things, so we couldn't just focus on the drinking. But yeah, that the place was buzzing then. The next day when we came back to our formal party, it wasn't quite so exciting. The spontaneous parties are generally the best ones.
What about after your event? Are you able to enjoy the rest of the Olympics? There must be an incredible weight off your shoulders after you've won gold, and then you can go out and just enjoy the rest of the games. Were you able to do that?
I was. I probably sort of kicked myself. I didn't go and see more sports, but I did. I wandered around. In actual fact, I'm not sure, it was probably 2 days later, I was wandered out into the Olympic Park, and sort of someone recognized me and suddenly, I'll sign a few autographs. And there were crowds of people coming around, and it was one of those moments where I felt like a celebrity and thought, I'm not quite sure if I like this. There are so many people sort of around pushing and jostling for autographs and things. We're a pretty low profile sport, so generally after the Olympics no one knows we exist, which sometimes you get frustrated with, but I tell you what, I'm not quite sure if I'd like to be chased down like those real serious superstars. But yeah, you're right. It's good. Our sport is really early on in the Olympics. Mm-hmm. We are finished in the first week, and then we just go and enjoy ourselves. We can normally get tickets through team management to go and see other sports as well. And obviously, I know everyone says Kathy Freeman basically stole the show and she was amazing. You're right, but honestly, she was second rate compared to me.
Wow. Okay.
As far as my parents are concerned, anyway.
Now, what about that night? Because again, this year, 20 years as we celebrate 20 years since the Olympics in Sydney, that was the night of the Olympic Games that everybody remembers. What were you doing that night? Were you there? Were you watching it? Were you part of the team? What happened?
I can't remember exactly where I was. I wasn't in the stadium. I was watching it on monitors. I'm not sure if it was in the Olympic Village with a whole heap of other Australians. It might have even been in the city. I mean, tell you, Sydney, the city was buzzing. It was a brilliant place to be. And I might have been in one of those great big areas where there was, I don't know, but it was just brilliant. Right. I can't remember where I was, but I was with a whole heap of Australians watching it all on one of those great big TV somewhere. It was exciting, but I'm sorry, I just can't remember exactly which place I was watching it from.
Let's go back earlier than that to 1992, when you won individual as well as team gold. And as you say, in Sydney, the Brits kept doing you a favour by knocking over the rails and all that. That was not the case in Barcelona, when you had to basically do the ride of your life to win the team and win the individual. What happened?
Yeah, that I was a bit of an unknown back then in 1992. I'd taken myself over to Europe, over to the UK in 89. So I went to the Seoul Olympics in 88. Really felt that to compete with the big boys, I wanted to base myself where they were all based, in the UK. But I was a bit of an unknown to the rest of the world, really. But, all things, started to go really well in Barcelona, lived up to my potential, so to speak. But my horse, Kyber TikTok, did not have a great reputation at show jumping. And one of my big performances in the UK just before selection, I think I had 6 rails down in the show jumping phase. So it wasn't looking good. But during camp, to mention that Roycroft name again, Wayne, who was the team trainer, and his wife Vicky, who was in the show jump team, they helped me amazingly well to just come to grips with TikTok and his show jumping. I rode him a bit differently, a few different techniques, and improved a lot. I learned a lot at that level through Wayne and Vicky Roycroft helping with that show jumping. So coming into the final phase, I was sitting in gold medal position into that final phase, which is the show jumping, and my reputation had sort of grown a little bit. So, oh, he won't hold on to gold, you know, he's also going to knock rails down. But I did a great round. Well, TikTok did a great round, just having the last rail down. I knew I had 1 rail in hand, or 2 rails in hand. I thought I had 2 rails in hand, and that was about it. But the team was sitting in silver medal position, sort of miles away from the Kiwis. The Kiwis were sitting in gold medal position. But sitting in second place was Andrew Nicholson, the Kiwi. And he created record just before me, because it's all done in reverse order, you see. So the fella sitting in silver medal position, he went second last and I went last. Well, he had 9 rails down.
Is that unprecedented? Does that not happen?
It is unprecedented.
Yeah.
He created history. That's unprecedented. That's not normal. And the rails were 5 penalties back in 92. So he had 45 penalties.
Oh, wow.
Not only did it give me a bit more breathing space at the top, I didn't actually know this, but it brought the team, Australian team, up into gold medal position.
Wow.
And I'm sort of glad I didn't know, but I could
the pressure
only
on
have
you. Was amazing, because you're not only riding for your own gold, but suddenly you've got a whole lot of other Australians who are going to win gold if you have a clear round or a near clear round.
But I didn't actually know that, so I'm sort of glad. All I thought that I was just trying to save my own team gold, and if we picked up individual gold, and if we picked up a team silver, that would be great. Funny enough, after the cross country, we were sitting in team bronze, but one of the British riders, Ian Stark, had to withdraw after the cross country, so his score was knocked off the British team, so we moved up to silver, but the Kiwis were a mile ahead. No one thought we could touch the Kiwis. So thanks to Andrew Nicholson, so to speak, him knocking down 9 rails opened the door. Luckily, I only had 1 rail down. If I had a second rail down, we would have stayed in silver medal position.
Wow.
But just the 1 rail down allowed us just to nick it from the Kiwis.
is a beautiful thing, it should be said, Matt. Now tell me, what kind of camaraderie is there amongst the riders of all the different teams? What do you say to someone who has knocked down 9 rails and has allowed you in to win that gold medal?
Yeah, I actually didn't see Andrew immediately afterwards. The actual camaraderie is really good. We're in a sport where it's actually can be seriously dangerous. You know, we've lost friends and horses, which makes our sport a bit tough and questionable at times. But because it is an element of danger there's a respect. And in actual fact, you probably could have gone up to any team and asked for some advice and they would have given it to you. There is a strange, serious competitiveness. And unless there's some personal thing going on, which there is every now and again, but generally, apart from that, everyone will help everyone. There's a real respect and camaraderie between all the nations. There's not a problem. It's a nice thing about our sport, actually.
What about for next year? 2021, it was supposed to be this year, of course, in Tokyo. How does that affect a team or a rider or a horse in their preparation when it's delayed by a year?
Yeah, look, some people will really interfere. Other people will take it as a fantastic opportunity. So within the horse industry, it's not just the riders being in fit form, but it's the horses as well. And I know quite a few riders that are thinking, oh, fantastic. You know, my horse, which I was hoping to have a shot at the Tokyo Olympics, with this extra year, they've been out with a bit of an injury. Give a little bit more time and I'm going to be back in with another shot. because their horses are picked up in injury somewhere along the line in their efforts to get selected. So there's quite a few riders hoping that that extra year along, let their horses recover from that injury which blocked them from any sort of consideration being selected. So that's always a positive. But of course, the people that were looking pretty good to be selected, they've just got to keep their form up. And so that's a little bit frustrating for them. But it happens all the time. Look, you can be on a high with a horse 1 week, and since the horse picks up a little injury, doesn't even have to be a serious injury, and then you're out. It actually happened to me in Atlanta in '96. I was in the team, and whilst in Atlanta, or a little place called Aitkin in Georgia, I think it was, or South Carolina. My horse, I had two horses there. They both picked up little injuries, nothing serious. Both picked up little injuries, and I had to
That's
withdraw
it.
from the team
And they won
within a
gold.
week, and they won gold without me. Don't I hate
Matt,
that?
it's been wonderful talking to you and reminiscing about just an incredible achievement that you have had in your Olympic career. And thank you so much for talking to us.
No worries, pleasure. Thank you very much.
And that was three-time Olympic gold medalist Matt Ryan. And that was another podcast from ABC Radio Overnights. I'm Rod Quinn. Thanks for listening.